In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Authority seeks to serve, not be served, to give, not receive, to prepare, aid, and equip, not leave to one's own devices. Now, certainly man abuses authority, thus we have problems submitting to it. The Sermon on the Mount precedes the Gospel text for this morning. And Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is iconic, and it reveals Jesus to be the one who taught as one having authority. But Jesus not only teaches as one having authority, but he starts to demonstrate and serve as one having authority in our Gospel text this morning. We see that Jesus heals, speaks, and judges as one having authority. The first story of our Gospel text is the healing of a leper. We hear that Jesus came down from the Sermon on the Mountain, and immediately crowds followed him because they realized that he had a unique authority. Then a leper came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, if it is your will, you can make me clean." This leper's statement is quite beautiful. His desire isn't necessarily healing, but to be made clean. The language of cleanliness relates to the Old Testament Levitical code. Israelites were considered unclean, either ritually, physically, or morally. And lepers are specifically mentioned in Leviticus 14 to be ritually and physically unclean. So they weren't allowed to dwell inside the city walls due to the possible spread of leprosy. As a result, lepers were cast outside the city walls and were largely ignored by folks, lest they too would become unclean and infected with this terrible disease. But for lepers to be made clean, the priest needed to make a sin offering of a lamb to purify him and make him clean. Blood sacrifice needed to be shed for atonement, for cleanliness to be given to the unclean. This would render a leper ritually clean, and then a leper could come back inside the city walls and be restored back to his community. The leper coming to Jesus desired to be cleansed. He knew that Jesus could give it, because the leper recognized Jesus' great authority. The only question is if this is God's will or not. So he confesses that Jesus has the ability and authority to heal diseased bodies. He just doesn't know if it's his will. Jesus responds to the leper's inquiry, more accurately in the Greek, "It is my will, be made clean." Then Jesus touched the leper. Anyone who's read Leviticus would have expected the unclean leper to infect Jesus, who is clean. Instead of Jesus becoming infected with leprosy, a reversal happens. That which is clean, Jesus, touches the unclean, the leper. And Jesus' cleanliness transfers to the unclean leper. Jesus then tells him to go show the priest so that he can be restored back to communion with God and his community. How does this happen? How does Jesus not become afflicted with leprosy? Well, Jesus has authority over all Levitical cleanness because Jesus is the sin offering made for atonement for this leper, and for all people. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world through the shedding of his blood, is the atoning sacrifice for all uncleanliness. So Jesus' healing authority points forward to the cross, where his sacrificial blood is poured out for all uncleanliness, so that we might be restored into communion with God and each other. Having healed the leper, Jesus in the story now speaks as one having authority. A centurion, which is a commander of a group of Roman soldiers, came to Jesus as he entered Capernaum. The centurion pleaded with Jesus to heal his servant who's suffering terribly. Though Jesus offers to go to his house to heal his servant, the centurion makes a beautiful statement regarding and demonstrating his humility and faith. Describing his vocation as a commander of soldiers, he told Jesus how those in subjection to him do as he says. So, when he tells someone to go to the front of the battle line, they go to the front of the battle line. He says do, and they do it. He says come, and they come. He says go, and they go. And this centurion recognizes that Jesus has an authority like that too. He confesses that Jesus, as one having authority over disease and ritual uncleanness, doesn't have to touch to heal. But uncleanness will shudder and run from a simple command. So at the end of our appointed text, Jesus tells the centurion to go, and it will be done. And the servant was healed. So we see that Jesus' authority to heal works not only by touch, but by word. But before Jesus heals the centurion's servant, Jesus teaches that he will judge humanity as one having authority. Jesus says to the centurion, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here Jesus demonstrates to this Gentile centurion that God's eternal banquet is not merely for those who have Abraham's covenant of circumcision, but God's eternal banquet feast is for all people, Gentiles included. It's for all people who have faith, like this centurion, who trusts God's authority and word. On the flip side, all those not at this eternal banquet feast are the sons of the kingdom. This term refers to the Jews who cling to Abraham, but not to Jesus. Surely they are born heirs of the kingdom, but they don't have a faith Jesus looks favorably upon, like the centurion. They don't believe Jesus' word or work of bringing new creation to sinful man, cleansing him and restoring him to both God and each other. This lack of faith and trust puts them in a place of utter torment, in a place that sounds like the description of the centurion's servant, being paralyzed and suffering terribly, never quite reaching death, but feeling its imminency. This is the place of punishment for sin and for being unclean. Though strange for these two different stories to demonstrate Jesus' authority, we learn much about Jesus' character. Though he judges according to faith, as we see in verse 11 and 12 of our text, his judgment is not vindictive, vengeful, or unfair. Jesus will certainly judge the living and the dead on the last day, as we confess in our creed. He judges according to whether we're clean or unclean. Whether or not we've been washed in Jesus' cleansing blood for ourselves. However, for us who've been regularly healed by Jesus' touch in word and sacrament, have our uncleanness cleansed through the atoning blood of the cross and delivered to us. God's wrath on sin is paid and visited upon an innocent sacrifice, Jesus, not upon us and our sinfulness. And because this innocent sacrifice is made one with us in his word and sacrament, God mercifully looks upon our infirmities and stretches his hand to heal and defend us. Now, to be clear, this healing is all-inclusive for both body and soul. But this healing of our bodies and souls won't come fully until our judge pronounces us righteous and clean on the last day. Not because of anything we've done, but because we've been sprinkled clean with Christ's innocently shed blood. He's taken your punishment in uncleanliness and satisfies God's wrath of sin in your place. And in exchange for your sin's punishment, he gives you life. A life without sickness, disease, tears, doubt, or anxiousness. And this life starts now, flowing forth from the once and for all sacrifice given forth from this altar. Come and receive this blood, which cleanses you from all sin. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.